This is the October 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for this property. The hearing before us involves petition number 977 for property ID 39332000. The property is owned by 111 Main Place, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. For the assessor's office, we do have Greg Peterson in attendance, and for the appellant, we have Greg LeBlanc. If you could please both raise your right hands now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony, make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So, unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to turn it over to you, to Mr. LeBlanc, to tell us about this property.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen, if that's okay.
Sure.
So here is the main place building. We have we've got a projected value of $14,196,700. It includes an underlying land parcel and a parking garage parcel and the improvements. I'm sorry, is someone talking? Okay, sorry. I was getting a little feedback. Here's our revised values. It's slightly different. It's a total of $14,196,700, which is a bit higher than what we had submitted on our appeal form. The net rentable area to the building is 80,887 square feet. The building was built in 1990. So we have a difference of a value just over $1.25 million. Here's an aerial of the subject. You can see that we have the smaller parcel here, 3,000. We have parcel 2,000, which I believe is the parcel that the improvements are on, and then we have the parking garage. So it's our contention here that the improvements are all under the same economic unit and are valued as such based on our income approach value. Here's the photographs of the property. Here's an entrance to the parking garage off 12th Avenue, and here's a view of the building looking, this is Main Street, so from the intersection of Main and 12th Avenue. That would be looking northeast. Some differences in our valuation. We have increasing interest rates and cap rates to deal with in the market. The building has some deferred maintenance and renovation needs and some costs to bring up the stabilization. With respect to interest rates, the market was significantly impacted by interest rates increases. If we look at, we can see this chart compares the increase in the 10-year treasury and the prime rate between January 1, 2022 and January 1, 2023. And you can see that those interest rates have doubled or more than doubled in in the case of the prime in that 12-month period. So that really had a significant impact on valuations. And also, we have the issue of cap rates, where cap rates are going up because there's valuations are going down. Here is the cap rate survey from the second half 2022 CBRE. They put out a cap survey twice a year for the Portland suburban office market for Class A stabilized properties. They ended up, they concluded at a cap rate of 6.25 to 7.75. But for Class A value add properties, they're at 7.5 to 8.5 percent. We believe that this would be a value add or a non-stabilized asset because, again, the property's occupancy was at 71% as of the valuation date. In that cap rate survey, there is a number of items reported that are significant. So the cap rate survey is attached as in exhibit, as exhibit 3 on pages 40 to 54, but some excerpts from that include respondents to our second half cap rate survey expect significant cap rate expansion in the second half of 2022 for all asset classes except high-end hotels, and expect more expansion in the first half of 2023, especially for CBD office segment. And, you know, other tight lending conditions and more defaults, particularly for office, are expected to characterize the market over the next 2 years. On average, cap rate estimates are up 60 basis points from the first half 2022 cap rate survey, reflecting substantial monetary tightening by the Federal Reserve and wider mortgage spreads. All property types reported cap rate expansion. Lenders are increasingly cautious and less willing to lend against lower quality and older properties. So, also, CoStar reported that the cap rate survey for the subjects CBD West Seattle office market was around 8% as of January 1, 2023. We can see that the market cap rate is shown here. This is from the CoStar market report, and that report is attached as Exhibit 1 to our evidence. That's on pages 19 to 34, but you can see that we're looking at a cap rate closer to 8% for, you know, Vancouver properties. And again, we are projecting a lower cap rate. We can also see the impact of the increasing interest rates, where this is the blue line, shows the market peak in early 2022, and then going down into early 23 as of our valuation date, and continuing to go down. So from the peak of Q1 22 through Q1 23, that we have a almost an 8% value decrease due to market conditions. So we're projecting a base cap rate of 8% before the tax load. So that's consistent with the Class A value add range for in the CBR survey and also the CoStar survey. The assessor is using a lower 7% cap rate before the adding the tax load. We also have the issue of deferred maintenance. We have a fire alarm update that's going to cost almost $90,000 and a roof replacement at $417,000. So we have about $500,000 in deferred maintenance, if a buyer was going to buy the property, they would price that in. We've got the bids for the fire alarm and roof replacement. Those are attached as exhibits 4 and 5, starting on page 55 and going all the way through 74. They're fairly detailed bids. We have the costs to lease up. Since our occupancy is only 71.5% as of the January 1 valuation date, there would be some additional costs to bring up to stabilization, which we projected at 80%. So just to get the building up to 80%, you're looking at another $500,000 in lease-up costs. So we've projected a 12-month lease-up period in tenant improvements allowance at $50 a square foot, which we've seen that these TIs have been pretty generous in this market because it's pretty competitive to secure new tenants. And we've also considered some leasing commissions and 10% risk for profit risk. So that's our lease-up cost projection on page P19. Here is a rent roll showing the property. And you can see we have a lot of tenants here. And generally, what we've seen in this market is that tenants are pulling back on their space needs as we have, you know, people doing hybrid work and also tenants that once their leases are reaching the end of the term, they're simply not renewing. And they may be enticed into newer, nicer buildings elsewhere that have available space. So we've got, you know, a little different risk profile with this building being, you know, towards the larger end of a multi-tenant office building in downtown Vancouver. Here is our projected income approach. So we're projecting the rent at $2,587. We're adding in some parking revenue and some miscellaneous income. So that brings us to a potential gross income of just under $2.4 million. We've got the 20% vacancy collection loss. So that reduces our EGI down to under $2 million. Then we've got the expenses that are before taxes that are running just under $600,000. So that gives us an NOI of $1,371,817. And then we have a 9% cap rate. So that includes the 8% base cap rate plus the 1% for the tax load. And the 1% is also consistent with the assessor's modeling. So that gives us a value of $15,245,000, but that assumes that the building is stabilized. Then we have to deduct out the $541,000 in lease-up costs and the $500,000 in deferred maintenance for the roof replacement and the fire alarm retrofit. So we've got $1,048,541 deduction. So that deducted results in a value of $14,196,700 or $175 per square foot. And again, this is to the entire economic unit, which is different than the assessor's methodology. Again, if we look here, we have that in that entire economic unit included in the valuation. So of that amount, a large portion of it pertains to the building, and then we're dividing the rest into the land in the garage, which is simply the assessed values going forward. But the assessor has valued the building and then added on for the land in the garage, which we dispute that methodology. And as far as you can see, the building's historical expenses, generally expenses have been increasing. We've seen the increases for insurance and repairs, maintenance, generally labor costs have increased, as well as costs for materials. We've also supported our analysis with sales in the market, although there are very few really good sales here. There is one sale that we believe deserves attention, and that's the sale of 1220 Main Place. That's located directly across the street from the subject, and it was purchased in December of 23 for $12,347,000 or $157 per square foot. It's a slightly older building, but it was renovated in 2021, and it was reportedly almost 98% occupied at the time of sale. The sale included a five-story office building and a 15,000 square foot two-story office building and a 63-space parking garage. So it did have a parking garage. Like the subject, it's located just across the street. It's a multi-tenant office building, like the subject, and it's similar in size. So that building is here, 1220 Main Place. There was also, we have some other sales. Sale 2 sold at a higher $239 a square foot. The cap rate was reported at 8.13%. It was also almost 91% occupied at the time of sale. And here's comparable 3 is block 56. This is also located very close to the subject in downtown. It sold in April of 23 for $300 a square foot, or 306. It was built in 1966, but it was renovated in 2014 to an open concept creative office. It also includes 116 parking spaces, but most notably, the building is leased by Clark County on a 20-year lease that started in September of 23. So I think the buyer potentially had this tenant in tow, thus they could make this sale work. And then we have sale 4 and 5. These are smaller buildings, as is sale 3 at 29,000. So sales 3, 4, and 5 are about the third of the size of the subject. They sold at higher values of $272 a square foot and $258 a square foot. There are also sales that occurred in July of 22 and September of 22 during better market conditions with lower financing rates. Also sale 4 was 91% occupied at the time of sale. Sale 5 was 100% occupied at the time of sale. So really we have kind of a different risk profile with the subject being, you know, a much larger almost 81,000 square foot building, being a multi-tenant building with, I don't think they have any full floor tenants there. So we have many different tenants, and higher vacancy, So if you've got a building at 29,000 square feet or 30,000 square feet and less, that's kind of, you know, you can have a owner user type, or just tenants that are interested in taking the entire building. So a little different risk profile. Here's a sales map showing those sales relative to the subject. And just in conclusion, we've got increasing financing rate as of January 1, 2023. We've seen cap rates go up. We've seen valuations go down. This building was only 71.5% occupied as of the date of valuation. So we need to be, we're projecting some costs to stabilize it and also some additional costs for the deferred maintenance. So also the assessor's valuation doesn't consider the attached parking garage as part of the economic unit. This parking garage is amenity to the building, and the operation of the parking garage is included in the historical profit and loss statements. The parking garage enhances the building value. If the building was to be valued separately, the projected rents would be lower and the value of the building would be lower. With that, and stop sharing the screen. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to answer.
I have no questions.
I just have one. Maybe I'm missing something, but the notice of value that was attached to your petition shows that the previous value of $13,174,100 and the new value as $13,174,100. So apparently there was some adjustment somewhere along the way. I mean, the notice of value shows no change from last year to this year. But as I'm reading everything else, you're asking for 14 and the county is asking for 15 million. Anybody?
I think that can be explained by what Greg was talking about with the economic unit, and he is approaching it with the parking garage being part of the economic unit. That makes the 15, whereas we are not including the parking garage as part of the economic unit, which is why we're at 13 and change. Greg, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, if you want, if I'm sharing my screen again,
are you asking
that's okay.
So, Greg Peterson,
yeah.
You're asking for $13,174,100.
So on this screen, Greg has it up perfectly. So on parcel 39332000, we have $13,174,100, and they're asking for
$11,921.
Yeah, and that's the difference. Yeah,
something's not okay.
Yeah, and I can explain when I'm given some time. I can explain the parking garage issue.
Okay, thank you.
For at least from our standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good. Thanks, Lisa. You asked the question I had, so...
Okay.
Okay.
I was going through this thinking, what did I miss? Let's see now.
Well, yeah, one is just the single property. The $13,174,000 is just the building, whereas Greg's summary on P11
is the building.
Where's this building and all the properties involved?
Yeah. I got it. Thank you.
Okay. Greg, you want to... Greg, Peterson.
Sure. So the county has valued the office building and the additional parcel as one economic unit and the parking garage separately. The reason for that is historical. In the past, the parking garage was owned by the city of Vancouver, and they were separate. It was a separate entity. Since then, that parking garage is now owned by the owners of the office complex. So we may need to address that economic unit issue, but in the past, that's the way it was been, and we've retained that. because there is public parking allowed on that building. So that's why they're separate. It's historical, and it may need to be corrected, and I may look at that in the future. So I'm gonna talk about a couple things here that aren't in dispute. One is that we're not disputing. Greg and I agree that rents are about $24 a foot based upon his presentation and based on how we're valuing the property. So no dispute in rents. No dispute in operating expense percentage, about 30%. So there's no dispute there. But I do have a couple things that I think we do disagree on that I want to kind of take one at a time. One is the differences in vacancy. We are using 20% vacancy, and the building is actually at 28.5%. That's obviously a difference. Greg has calculated a lease up allowance of approximately $550,000. I would concede that. That's an issue with the property, so I would concede that I wrote 550 approximate, so we have to look at his documentation. 28.5% is definitely higher than market, so we typically would allow for a lease up if we're made aware of that and or knew of it, and we didn't. And when I did research on CoStar, I didn't see that percentage, but I'm also looking at it a year later. It could explain that, because I don't believe they're still at that percentage. So I would concede that point. The point I would disagree with is that we're allowing for reserves of replacement for maintenance items and items that wear out. So if we're allowing for reserves of replacement, we can't also subtract the cost of repairs for those items. So we can't have it both ways. We can't allow the 2% every year that we build up in an account to pay for the new roof, pay for the fire alarm, then also deduct that value at the bottom line. So I would say that those capital expenses to repair the building have already been accounted for in the reserves. And they're not just reserves for 1 year, they're reserves over the life of the building. So that would be something that we would disagree on. A third one, and this is a difficult one, but the cap rate, we're not seeing the 8% caps based upon the sales in Vancouver, in the Central Business District. I do agree this building is a difficult one to comp, to find a cap rate for that aged building, but we're just not seeing anything near 8%. 7 was at the time a fairly conservative cap rate, and things may have changed slightly with a change in the prime rate over time. But we are just not seeing that 8%. The last thing I wanted to touch on was I would also agree the best sale is across the street at 1220 Main. Similar vintage building, similar style with multiple tenant parking garage. The only problem with that sale is something I found out after the fact, that it is that property is on a land lease. So they just purchased the building, and I had to find out from the new owners themselves, because they contacted me and wanted to know, hey, why, what's the difference we have in value here? And we did not have that land lease. They only transferred the building, and they are paying to lease that land. So that makes that sale very muddy when it comes to a straight comparison. And if it was not on a land lease, I would say absolutely that's a great comp. But that land lease muddies the waters. So I would say those are the main points that I would disagree on. I'm willing to concede the lease up cost. I think that's reasonable, and I've always found Greg LeBlanc to be a reasonable person, and I would hope he would agree with me that we can't allow for reserves replacement and then also subtract the cost of the repairs, because that is essentially taking the adjustment twice. Beyond that, I will let my evidence stand as it is. And I'll let the board make the decision based upon the testimony provided. Any questions?
Can we talk a little bit more about the cap rate?
Sure.
Greg, Mr. LeBlanc, could you tell me exactly where your cap rates come from?
My cap rate comes from CoStar and the CBRE cap rate survey. If we look at our evidence, share screen here. We're on page P16. This is from the CBRE cap rate survey, second half 2022. So that indicates for the Portland market, which presumably includes Vancouver, we're at 7.5% to 8.5% for Class A value add buildings or non-stabilized buildings. We also looked at the CBRE survey data, and this is, or excuse me, the CoStar survey, and this is for the CBD West Vancouver office market, where the subject is, and as tracked by CoStar, and they're indicating a cap rate much closer to 8% as of the evaluation date on January 1, 2023. We have this included in more detail as Exhibit 1, but this is just a snippet of that. So, and also, we note that on some of the sales, there were, you know, reported cap rates. Again, sale one had a pro forma cap rate of 10%, but, you know, as Greg mentioned, that apparently if this was just for a lease without the land, you would command a higher cap rate there. But also sale two, that's an 8.13% cap rate. That was reported, and that was reported based on actuals, not pro forma. Typically, an actual cap rate is at a lower than pro forma. So, you know, we've got, you know, a couple of market indications here. No other cap rates apparently were reported for the other ones.
Yeah, I pulled out of CoStar. I searched all of Clark County office properties from January 2022 to today, just to see, for reported cap rates. And you're right, getting reported cap rates is very difficult. And I'm gonna do something here. I'm gonna share a screen, and boy, this has backfired on me in the past, but let's try it here. I'm gonna share. Did that come up for anyone?
Nope.
Did you click OK, share?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, technical difficulties. Hit share.
You're just one click away.
And I want, let's try this one, share. Nope, that's not it. Hold on. That is not, well, this is it not in the report form, but this is all of Clark County's office sales. You can see, are you guys seeing this screen? Mm-hmm. From January 2022 to present. So, and these are just ones with reported cap rates. So all I've got is now I'm just looking at dates and cap rates from January 22 to present. 5.3565. There's that 8.13 that Greg had in his. Here's a 6 cap, 7.34 cap, 4 cap. Now obviously that's not a very good comp. 5 cap. 5.81. So we're just, when I'm pulling the information from CoStar, I'm not seeing that, but I'm also not looking at the reports that Greg had. His reports were from CoStar. I didn't see those cap rates, at least from what we've been seeing being reported. We're still seeing things very strong downtown. I mean, there's still building office downtown that tells us something with the big Zoom building being built. Vancouver seems to be, I'm waiting for something to happen. You read all the reports across the country, and we're not seeing it here in Clark County as much.
Well, his chart on correct me if I'm wrong, on P17, mm-hmm. I mean, he's got three three that are in West Vancouver and then one for Portland. Portland is obviously lower cap rates.
Uh-huh.
But the ones in the West Vancouver are all over 7.5 at January 23.
Yeah.
Not quite 8%, but closer to 8% than 7%.
I think I've got enough information to make a decision.
I mean, that's the one factor to me that makes probably the most difference in your valuations. And obviously the reserve for a replacement is a factor also.
Yeah.
All right. Either one of you want to add, because I think I've got a pretty good picture. Okay.
That's for me.
Okay.
All right. We'll close the hearing. Thank you, gentlemen.
This is the October 2nd, 2024 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. We have 30 minutes scheduled for the property before us. The hearing involves petition number 976 for property ID 986050549. This property is owned by Evergreen HQ, LLC. Board members present by video conference are John Marks, Lisa Bodner, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. There is no one present from the assessor's office, but we do have Dan Politica here on behalf of the appellant. If you could please raise your right hand now to be sworn in.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to your testimony and make a decision on the value of your client property as of January 1st, 2023. Keep in mind the assessor has the presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as to the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions on procedure, I'm going to let you go ahead and tell us what you need to.
Okay. I assume that you have the four pages I submitted. It just includes sort of a summary of our value page with the picture of the building and then a couple pages of Excel columns and cost numbers.
Yes.
Okay. And then I believe the original assessed value was $3,510,871, and I believe the assessor submitted a revised value of $3,181,071, and I've had a lot of back and forth with Mary on this, prior to the hearing, and we talked a lot about it. And it's new construction, built in 2023 or just prior to 2023, and they were valuing it on cost. And so what I submitted, and it was just completed and vacant as of the assessment date, but what I submitted was the actual cost of construction. And so our requested improvement value of $2,543,904 comes from on page, would be two of the first page of the sort of the Excel sheet. Comes from there. On the top, you can see, paid to date and work completed. And so that work completed number is where I got our requested improvement value. And I think, and with talking with Mary, some of where she was hung up was on, you can see the revised cost there below it, 2.82 $1.25 million. And so it's sort of, that's just the, what that is the total loan budget of $2.77 million plus the change orders there. And so it's not really the actual cost of the building. And I confirmed this with the owner that, you know, I wasn't going to present anything incorrect. You know, the total that was spent was the $2.54 million. And so, you know, you can see on the column right next to the description column, the bid one. That's the bid for the building. All the way at the bottom, the total bid was just under $2.6 million. And then there, you know, there's change orders involved. But if you were on each of these pages, there's three columns, and the middle column is the work completed. There's a draw column, and then sort of a 5% I think like contingency payment. But the work completed column, if you were at the bottom of it to go through each and add it up on each draw, it, you know, it adds up to the total work completed. And so that's really where it's at. We're not much different. You know, I worked with the owner in discussing a stipulation offer to the revised value, and, you know, he's appreciative of it being reduced and being considered based on the cost, but, you know, just wanted me to come to the board and present the actual cost and what they actually spent. And all of the, you know, the this includes hard costs, soft costs, and you know, what would be entrepreneurial profit. It's all built in to the bid. And so, you know, this was the total amount spent by the owner, who, you know, he's not a developer. He just, you know, paid the general contractor to construct this building. And so that's pretty much it. You know, brand new construction, a cost approach, and the, you know, the total spent on the improvements was $2,543,904. And so that's where we request the board, you know, recognize that, you know, the actual costs in this scenario are, you know, probably the best indication of the value of the property being brand new. And we asked the board to reduce it to our total requested value, which takes the assessor's assessed land value. And so the total would be $2,885,075. And so that's all I'll have for you, is just presenting the actual cost of construction and requesting that the board reduce it to the actual construction costs.
Oh, that's adding the land onto it, right? Yeah.
Correct, yeah. We just accept the assessed land value and apply the total construction cost to the improvement value.
And the last draw was on the 20th, was in November, correct? Was that when the building was finished?
Yeah, correct. And that's where I think, you know, with it being brand new, an income and vacant, an income approach, you know, makes it difficult with it being unoccupied. And so I think that's why the assessor left it on cost for this assessment year. And that's where we, you know, present the actual costs.
Did they tell you why they lowered it to the $3,000,001?
Yeah, you know, we have Mary emailed us, and she said it was valued on cost for new construction 2023, During a review, she noticed a few errors in the data entry of the office building. She made the corrections, and the value has been adjusted down to $3,181.71, and she attached a stipulation offer with that. And that sort of began our discussions. And
an error in
there. And
an error in what?
Just all she specified was she noticed a few errors in the data entry on their record for the building. So that's all she. Yeah.
Okay. I'm good. Any other questions, John or
Lisa? No, I don't have any questions.
No, I don't have any questions about it. That's fine.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your time.
Close the hearing.